Today, June 15th, the U.S. Department of the Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control designated two key supporters of what they call an ethnically motivated violent extremist group known as the Russian Imperial Movement. What do you know about them?
Well, the Russian Imperial Movement is actually quite a famous group since 2019. It was the actual first group of what the American government calls the RENV, the racially motivated extremism factor that became a specially designated foreign terrorist entity on the sanctions list. First time the US government has done this within this category. Of course, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of groups on the Islamist terrorism spectrum, but this is so far the first and only one on this particular terrorism spectrum. It was designated because it is running or has been running training camps near St. Petersburg, in which it trained a couple of members of another right-wing extremist group from the Scandinavia called the Nordic Resistance Movement, who then after their training in St. Petersburg conducted a range of terrorist bombing attacks in Sweden, for which they were convicted afterwards on charges in Sweden. Recently, the RIM is obviously quite in the media because it is encouraging Russians to fight in Ukraine and has sent some of its members to fight in Ukraine as well.
How does the Russian government interact with this organization, or how do they feel about them?
As with all extremist groups, Nazi, fascist, right-wing extremist, or otherwise, it is a utilitarian relationship. So when it fits the bill, it fits the bill. And when it doesn't, it doesn't. So there is really no ideological cooperation here, but it's using these groups very much as an attempt on augmenting low-level warfare, as in Ukraine, undermining democracies in the West. For example, one of the guys sanctioned today actually traveled to the US to establish contacts. They trained, as I said, people from Sweden. So these groups are also part of the Kremlin's, I would say, hybrid warfare strategy in undermining the cohesion of Western democracies.
So the people that were essentially designated in this action today by the U.S., Alexander Zhukovsky and Stanislav Sevchuk, how well connected are they to the international terrorist movement, I should say?
Well, I mean, there are two of the significant figures. RIM is definitely very well connected. Especially Sevchuk was the one that was supposed to establish contacts to the United States. We have quite a few RIM members at transnational events, not particularly aware of these two individuals having attended those, from big concerts pre-corona in Western Europe to conferences of right-wing extremists in Scandinavia in the past. So this is a very active group and one of the really visible transnational networks of right-wing extremists in Russia. The other ones, of course, being the Werewolves, which is kind of a right-wing extremist, fascist-type biker gang that has very close connections to the Kremlin.
You know, we've been talking for several years about the connection between extremism here in the U.S. and extremism abroad. Do you get any sense that Sevchuk was able to get any traction here with white nationalist and far-right extremist groups in the U.S.?
Look, I mean, there are the basic narratives, which are the same for Russian right-wing extremists as for European or American right-wing extremists, is that you have to defend some kind of imaginary ethnic identity, European Christian culture, yada, 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 against anyone who is different from you. Whether this is migrants, whether this is liberal politicians, whether these are members of the LGBTQ plus community. But then this RIM is slightly of a different branch than some of the American and some of the European groups, in that it actually looks towards reestablishing the Russian Empire, which is not really something that a German or an American group is really very keen about. And so you have then within that branch that looks towards establishing a new power block in Eastern and Central Europe, and then a branch that is looking towards the Orthodox Church and one that is looking more towards an atheistic entity. And I think, as far as I remember, the IRM belongs to the latter. So it's a particular fascist variant that we have in Russia, which makes it a bit more difficult for these groups to link up with groups like the Atomwaffen Division or the Feuerkrieg Division or the BASE, which do not follow this particular branch of thinking. But because they both feel that European, American, white, race, whatever culture is under threat, there is a base level of cooperation that is possible, but close connections rather difficult. So also the, you know, the Nordic resistance movements guys training with REM was more, as far as I understand, based on the fact that there was a training camp that they could attend rather than a particular close ideological connection.
One final thing, the state of violent extremism and far-right extremism here in the United States and social media, do you see any influence from that group that we've been talking about today on the U.S. via social media? We know that there have been a couple of times when far-right groups and some nation states have actually engaged in social media activity, encouraging violent activity here in the U.S., and a lot of the people that were the victims didn't even know it. So I know your group has been active on the social media front, at least trying to get social media companies to do the right thing. Do you see any influence here from social media on this problem?
I mean, look, first of all, the online connections is how this transnational network basically works, right? There are some physical events where everyone attends, but the connections are transnationally through social media and online. And as you can see in today's description, who got listed, VKontakte makes several appearances. VKontakte is essentially the Russian version of Facebook. Now, very clearly, the Russian government for many years, not just in America, but also in Western and Eastern Europe, has been using everything as part of his hybrid warfare, also online, not only to sort dis and misinformation, but also to support, give voice to, enhance the ideas of extremist groups, in particular from the white with the Nazi variant, as a means to undermine us very actively, of course, on COVID disinformation, on manipulation, the elections of 2016, on in both sides of the Atlantic, supporting and manipulating COVID deniers, which overlap with right-wing extremists and become violent. So yes, there is a very, very big role, a central role of social media. And it is very much misused by the Kremlin to support these kind of movements, not only here in America, but also in Europe.
Hans, thank you as always for some great deep insight into what we consider very important information when it comes to extremism.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director at the Counter-Extremism Project. J.J. Green, WTOP News.